All right. Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Looking Both Ways podcast. It's been a while, but we are just kind of coming into the new year still, even though we're a month in. We've started a new series, which was really great. One of my favorite quotes, again, that I'm excited for Pastor Rich to talk about. At the heart of the message is that we must never forget we worship a living, exalted, glorified Jesus. It was a great start to a new series. And I'm excited to hear you kind of go more in depth in the areas that, you know, maybe we didn't have time for. So if you're wondering what this podcast is, it's again, it's a chance halfway through the week to be reminded by our pastor, fearless leader, Pastor Rich, what we talked about last week, and then also how to prepare ourselves for this coming week. So Pastor Rich, how are you? And what are some things that you really wanted us to take away from on Sunday?
Well, hello, everybody. I'm doing well. Thank you. We are started that series, like you said. And really, to start off the series, we started in Revelation 1. And the point for me for that point, as we go into the seven churches, was to just provide a context for everybody as we understand what we're talking about and who's talking to us. Now, obviously, it's God talking to us through his word, but it's John's context that makes this vision, this apocalypse, amazing, and just in the context of where he was at. And so the idea that he's 90 years old, he's exiled, he's alone. I mean, everybody's gone. Paul's gone. Peter's gone. James's brother's martyred already and gone. And so he basically left on an island under Roman authority to work and die. And not do what you've been called to do anymore. And yet God finds him out there, because God put him out there, because that's how God works, to reveal this scroll. And I was always fascinated when I read that. And I talked about it, I think, in both services. John, God provided scrolls somehow, some way, however he chose to do that, for John to write down what he saw. And so God provides for what he wants you to do. And we talked about that a little bit, but really the overall, so it's about struggle. Revelation's about bringing hope to people who are dealing with hard times. It's written during a very bad time of persecution under the Emperor Domitian. And so these churches along Asia Minor here, the seven churches that we'll look at, they're dealing with hard stuff, and they're dealing with their Gentile culture. And they are dealing with difficult circumstances of persecution and trying to remain faithful to what they mean, remain faithful to. And Jesus just gives this picture to John right off the bat. You know, he turns around, he looks over his shoulder, and there's gold sash, dressed in white, hair like white as wool, eyes fiery flame, seven stars, seven lampstands, which are the churches and the angels of the churches. And That pictures all throughout the book, and to give hope, because that's what Jesus is now. Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus looks like now. And I made the point just because it's not wrong. It's just we have to have a better picture as we're dealing with life of what Jesus, for lack of a better way of saying it, looks like now. He's not a bloody, beaten up, crucified Savior. He's a reigning King and Lord and God and radiant and fills the room and has this glorious picture of culminating everything, which Revelation talks about. And that's the God that we worship, and that's the God that we serve, and that's what he rose to do, and that's who we're going to see when we get there into heaven. And so he just gives us a reflection of, this is who I am, as you deal with the persecution and everything you're dealing with in life now, because that's what gives us hope. I mean, our hope is, we're grateful for the cross, obviously. We're grateful for the resurrection, obviously. It gives us pictures of things that we can look forward to for us when it comes to that, when it comes to the resurrection body. But the God we serve is that God. And I spent a lot of time talking about the fact that, you know, Jesus has this appearance that looks older. And we need to remember that Jesus was around from the beginning. So he's kind of old by our standards.
Yeah, he's kind of ancient. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he has that picture that's the picture he reflects there to just give people an understanding. That's God. That's who he is now as we walk through this, because he's open. He's like, look, John, you're going to suffer. He's told us all through scripture, we're going to suffer. Things are going to be hard. And I made the point that things are getting harder. I talked about church plants in Quebec, Montreal specifically, where the law has been changed. They can't use schools for churches anymore. And so we have a lot of church plants in our denomination in Quebec and in Montreal. And so they're all scrambling. What are we doing? What are we going to go with next? And it's not because of anything except the government saying, no, we're not going to allow churches to use schools. That is a form of persecution. Right. And we have to be aware that this is going on in Western culture, and it's next door. It's not. Yeah. It's not like it's over there. It is just up north.
It gets cold closer to home. And I mean, you unpacked a lot. I mean, I thought that was a really neat takeaway. Just a cool, you know, thing to look for when you're studying the Bible is, you know, the fact that he had something to write that on. You know, when you dig deeper and you try and put yourself into the shoes of the person that you're reading about, or the person that wrote this, or whatever it may be, you have that context and you can start to ask those questions like, wait a minute, where did he get paper? You know? Yeah. And it's you know, that's a simple application. Like, that seems like such a small thing, but it is. It's evidence that God really equips those that he calls. And so I like that. I thought that was a really neat takeaway, just a really subtle thing, but actually that has really huge meaning for us.
Right.
As we study the Bible, but then as well, you know, just with that concept of what persecution looks like across the globe. And, you know, we've talked about this in the past. I think a lot of people expect persecution to come from the government, you know, somebody making Christianity illegal or whatever it may be. But oftentimes, persecution across the world, some of the most intense persecution comes from radicals, not the government, right? So it could be religious radicals. It could be atheistic radicals that are persecuting the church. And sometimes the government just doesn't do anything about it, right? So we have to be careful what we think persecution is. And we need to get to the place where we're expecting it. And so I loved the perspective that you provided on that, because again, it's easy to just read, you know, blow through the beginning of Revelation, or actually blow through the whole book of Revelation because it's so confusing. But when you take that chance to kind of stop and smell the roses, man, there's so many cool things when you just consider where he is and what he's dealing with.
And it's interesting because God still works amidst all of that. I mean, let's be honest. We live in California. Okay. It's as the country goes, it's considered the very secular part of the United States. Yet some of the largest churches and some of the most strongest evangelical communities in our country are in Southern California, or in California as a whole. I mean, and we live, and sometimes we think we can't do as much as others can do, and like in the South, you know, for when it comes to stuff. So, as you know, I went and did the invocation for City Hall last night.
Right. Yeah.
On a regular basis, they ask us to come do it. And, it still says above that, in California, in God we trust.
Right.
And I pray as a evangelical pastor, I pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I thank God for the fact that for the council and the staff, and I remind them and I remind everybody that they're there because God put them there. Yes, we voted, but God put them there.
Right.
And we can still do that. And we need to take those opportunities while we still can do that. And because in the age of religious pluralism, and we would think California is this bastion of pluralism, not necessarily when it comes to following Jesus.
Right.
Certain things.
Yeah.
So it's important to take advantage and to know that God works in the midst of all of these things. Look at the influence John had beyond the first three letters, you know, gospel, obviously, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and then Revelation. And this one, this particular book, this revelation that he got from Jesus directly is one that people struggled with throughout church history. I mentioned it. I don't know if I mentioned it. I know I mentioned it in the first service. Calvin never wrote a commentary in Revelation, which is an amazing thing. The man wrote about everything else. He just didn't write one on Revelation.
Yeah, didn't touch that one.
And Luther hated the book. Luther did not like the book of Revelation. For him, it was just a bunch of mysteries that nobody can understand.
Right.
And it's just like, wow. But yet here we are. It's still, it's in our canon. It gives us hope at the end of the book. It lets us, we always like to say, in the end, we win. Well, this is the proof that we win.
That's how we know that, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. When, again, it's one of those that people are just confused that they don't touch it. Mm-hmm. And for some people, that could be the whole Bible. They think it's confusing, so they don't touch it at all. But then, you know, the book of Revelation for sure. But, you know, it is that thing that gives us hope. It's the clearest picture of what heaven will, or what our final destination will look like, is in Revelation. And if anything, what confuses you should give you comfort, because it's just showing you how insanely complex God is and how high and lifted up he is. So if it does confuse you, well, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. You know, we like to say, if you can explain God, he's not God. And this is one of those books that shows us that he is indescribable. There's no way. I mean, and you got to put yourself again in John's shoes. Like, imagine him trying to write this down. Like, if you had a vision that he had and they say, hey, write down what you're seeing. How do you do that? You know, I mean, how do you even quantify what you're looking at?
At that point, I would think all you can do is just write what you see. I mean, really, how are you supposed to amplify that? Yeah. And I would tell people this when it comes to Revelation, because I like to keep it very simple, too. We all have our views, and there's 1,000 different views. The reality is, it's how Jesus culminates it and rules and reigns, brings mm-hmm. everything back to what was originally created to be. That's the goal of it, to bring hope in the midst of all that. That's what's happening. You can go and study all your charts and all the different things. And I got all of those things to do that. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to that. He's ruling and reigning. And that revelation, the revelation that we are given is and written is even, I'm going to say this, some people might argue with me about this, is limited, because John saw more things than he was actually allowed to write. Mm. If you look in there,
there's a point
where he says he's going to write it down, and he's told, no, you can't write that down. It's almost like, all right, you get to see this, but they can't, because it's probably so above and beyond that we would really just really mess that up.
Yeah, or it defeats the purpose of why we're having you write.
Exactly. And so when somebody tells you they got it figured out, like every tot tittle timeline, like the like God, you know, he's going to come back tomorrow. If somebody says they know that, run. There's things that have to take place, obviously, but
yeah, run is a good way to put that.
And so just, you know, anybody who tries to give you a date, anybody who tries to anticipate to you who the Antichrist is, you know, and giving names. And I'm like, there are things, John had something to do. We have Revelation, and we're still supposed to do something, which is kind of what we talked about earlier.
Yeah. No. And again, like it's exciting to get the chance to kind of look at this in more depth. And, mm-hmm. You know, especially as we move forward, it was a good foundation to set of who the focus of Revelation is. And it really is Jesus himself. So I would love for you to kind of tell us a little bit of where we're headed mm-hmm. Just this coming Sunday. So that way we can maybe prepare our hearts for that.
Well, this week, we're going to start going to the churches. So we'll start with the church at Ephesus. We'll talk a little bit about the city. We were just in Ephesians not long ago, so we'll spend too much time. But really, that's about they lost their first love. And so we need to unpack that they lost their first love and what that means. And what that means for us. And so as I've tried to outline this thing, I've just trying to walk through it, because Jesus gives a description of himself. Then Jesus gives a commendation, and then Jesus gives his criticism, and then he gives his corrective plan, which involves terms that we will talk a lot about, because it's pretty consistent in what he wants us to do, especially that word repent. You know, we don't use too much anymore, but that's what's there. And then how does that apply to us today? And then I'm going to always try and close when there is a promise, because there's not always a promise to all these churches, with the conclusion will be, what's the promise that Jesus gives for those who listen? Because it always says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And so we're going to talk about what it means to lose your first love. What does that mean for us today? And what do we need to do about it? And what does that look like for us? I'm going to always try and bring these back to application for life every day and how we live life, because that's what we want to do.
Yeah, which is huge for the book of Revelation, you know, and again, I, just to kind of echo what you said earlier, I think Revelation is important for many reasons. First off, that it's in Scripture, but also when Jesus is giving hope to his disciples before he departs, he says, "Behold, I'm going to prepare a place for you." So think of that place, and then we don't get anywhere near as much detail of what that place is outside of Revelation. I mean, Revelation provides so much about that event and that place that are going to give us hope of what we're looking forward to. I mean, that first love, it's so ironic, that verse, that you've forgotten your first love. The root core gospel comes in a book that causes so many people to forget their first love, right? Yep. To focus on things, that I wouldn't say don't matter, but definitely don't matter as much. You know, when you talked about the whole, people get hung up on pre-trib and post-trib and all of these things, right? And we should be focusing on the Great Commission and all that kind of stuff. So the irony in that's really interesting. I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say about that.
So, I mean, and, you know, again, the Ephesus was, by all measurements, a lot of these churches that we would describe, we would look at it and we would say it's a good church. A lot of these churches, we would say that it's a first. So as Jesus is walking among the churches, as he explains that he is, we have to remember that Jesus is with us as a church. That's a picture he gives, that he's winding his way through the lampstands and winding his way through that. That means he's aware. And we as a church, in all of these descriptions that he'll go through, we can put on all kinds of appearances that we want to. But God knows the internal of the life of our church and what needs to be addressed and not addressed. And there's much speculation whether angel is an angel for each church or whether that's the pastor of the church. That's what I was always taught. You know, you can find 50 commentaries that say one thing and 50 that say another.
Sure.
So it's messenger, whoever the messenger is. And for most of us, that would be the preacher, in understanding that is to bring that out and to bring that out. But it's reflective. The seven churches are intended to be reflective and to do something about it.
Yeah, no, I'm excited. My prayer is that this just affects our church and helps us focus on to what truly matters. You know, it's easy to forget your first love when you get deep into theology and all that stuff. And it's also easier to forget your first love when you become complacent. And so there's multiple ways that you can actually commit that. So.
And in Ephesus, that's a good word, case, theirs was robotic and legalistic and just focusing on that. Mm-hmm. And when you don't love and you do things out of routine, God knows that. And we're supposed to do out of love. I'm kind of giving the whole thing here, but that's fine. We're supposed to do out of love and out of love for one another, because obviously that's the witness that we have as a church, that we love him, we'll keep his commands. If we love him, that's the new commandment he gives us, to love as he loves us. And so that the world may know that you are my followers. So that goes to serving in, like you just talked about, serving in so many levels. And, you know, we're as pastors, we're constantly in the recruiting mode, and our ministry leaders are in the recruiting mode. And it's really like, okay, this is about, if we love each other, if we love our kids, just as an example, kids who come to our church, then when you love somebody, you kind of do some sacrificing, you give up a few things, you make priorities for certain things, like that. And that's kind of where Jesus is going here with this kind of thing.
Yeah. I love it. Well, we hope that you all, that this finds you well, that this helps you maybe get through the week. Maybe you're having a tough week and this helps you push on to Sunday. And maybe you're having a great week and you're getting ready for the weekend. And regardless, again, the whole point of this is to just help us continue to invest in what God wants us to learn. Maybe ask the question, if God were to write a letter to our church, what would that letter entail? What would he tell us? And so, we're looking forward to seeing you all this weekend. doing much better getting in there on time, which is great for the contemporary service and worshiping with you all.
It's actually true for most all of them. They're getting, I mean, it's like I told somebody, because they're like, yeah, I'm like, look, we're getting better. It's if they're 5 minutes late, that's a huge improvement.
Yeah.
For the wrestling.
Yeah, that's great.
We got to take our steps here, man. But
we do.
You deprive yourself, and you know this. You've heard me talk about it a lot. And I chose a church. The idea of feeding your soul. We deprive ourselves when we don't think we need to do certain things, and we deprive our souls when we do that. And that's really the importance of being together and being together for all of it and being part of the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Another side effect of forgetting your first love. So, So come this weekend, come ready to learn, come ready to worship and just be together as a church. We're excited to see you. We know the Super Bowl's happening, but just
not till 3:30.
Worship first. Okay. The food and setup can wait.
Yes.
Worship first. And then you can go to the game.
I'm actually cooking Saturday.
They'll be ready to go. Life examples. We're probably just going to cook tacos. It doesn't take long, you know? Well, thank you so much again for your time, Pastor Rich. Again, we hope you enjoy this, that this is helpful for you all. 20 minutes when we're recapping Revelations, not bad. That's pretty good. So have a great rest of your week. We will see you all on Sunday, and we can't wait for it.
Have a great one, everybody.
All right. We'll see you later.